Hey, everybody, it's Ask the Amigos. Hey, Aaron, this is a show where we answer our Discord community's questions. Like,
thanks for telling me.
Like Drone Doctor. He says, what topic or subject, tech or otherwise, did you feel you had complete mastery of or expert level knowledge of? Then one day were completely humbled when you met an actual master of said subject and learned that you, in fact, were just a novice in the shadow of a true master. So,
Drone Doctor just wants to look like this is our worst moment. Oh, gosh. I'll let you feel that one, Boat.
Well, I don't have an example right offhand. This is sort of like what happened. Okay, yeah. This is somewhat tangentially related. So I had a student teacher last semester.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm helping her and stuff like that. And she's like, I'm going to be observed tomorrow. My professor from the college is coming. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so he comes in, and I'm like, all right. And he comes in, and she starts teaching. And I'm like, well, let me tell you a little bit about what she's doing here. She's conducting the band.
Yeah.
And she's doing this and this and this because this is how kids learn. Because I think that this is just some loser from the College of Education at Marshall. Well, it turns out this is the director of bands at Marshall University, the brand new, newly hired director of bands, PhD in music, was a public school teacher in California for 40 years and marched Santa Clara Vanguard for a million years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt real, real dumb after I explained how conducting worked to a guy like that.
Yes, that is the perfect example of what we're talking about. Man, this has had me so many on tech and non-tech levels. In fact, anytime I think I know something, inevitably, I meet someone that makes me look like a geek, right? Like, I think of the stuff that I know the most about, and a lot of it's garbage, like wrestling or comic books, something like that. When it comes to tech, I've been humbled so many times when I thought I was the best. Like, I was a time, because you got to think back in the old days, you didn't know anyone else that was in the, like, there would be a spotty amount of computer people.
Yeah, pre-internet days.
And so I remember being like, I thought I was pretty good, good man when it came to computers. I had my Tandy TL-1000. I could get myself around DOS. I could change the memory setup to play games. I could download like a pirate. Someone was King Dog. And we used to, when I would hang out with BBS people, that's where the humbling would begin. Like, sometimes they'd come up to my house, and, like, I would know, I could, like, look, I could hack this, or I could do that. And these guys would come in and sit down and just do everything that I didn't know what they were even doing. Too hard.
It's the classic scene where their fingers are flying. There's all kinds of stuff appearing on the computer.
Yeah, there's a guy named Starman. He used to come over, and he worked for, like, the Corps of Engineers.
The Chud hated him.
He hated that guy. I hooked Starman up with his woman, by the way. That was all me.
The woman that the Chud brought home one time?
No, God, no. Oh. But anyway, he came over to the house one time and logged on and was doing all this crazy stuff. And the thing is, I will say, unlike yourself, I always let the guest go first, and then I just slink away. I slink away because I don't want them to know. You know, in fact, almost everything I do in my whole life, I know just enough to get by, just barely enough. But if I play my hand too strong, I'm inevitably found out. So I've become very coy and sly and just like, that's pretty good. It happens all the time, even on this show. I'm talking to somebody who knows about Amiga stuff. Like, I know just enough to get by. But, like, if someone gets in the CLI and starts going to work, I'm just like, listen, I'm going to go to the bathroom. You know, so I just slink away. So my thing is, just slink away.
Just slink away.
Know your role, shut your mouth, and roll out the door.
Just put that on the tombstone.
That should be a t-shirt. Just slink away. Just have me going like this.
His next question, Dr. Drone Doctor asks, coffee connoisseur, nerd, or gas station coffee? So he says, are you a coffee connoisseur?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a coffee or a coffee nerd, or is gas station coffee just fine?
I hate all coffee. So the answer to that is no. N-A. None of the above. I don't like warm drinks. You know?
Not a little hot chocolate?
I don't.
Hot toddy?
No, unless you really Irish it up to the point where it's not that hot. I'm not into it. And coffee, to me, just tastes weird.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee is a lot like beer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a taste I never acquired.
Sure.
You know, of course, I do drink whiskey and bourbon, but I don't know what to do. I don't know why that happened, but those are two things. Now, you do drink a little coffee.
I live on coffee. I live on
it's funny because I never see you drinking coffee.
Well, you never see me in the morning.
Why is that?
Well, we don't sleep together anymore.
Oh, that's right.
So the thing about gas station coffee is that it's gotten a lot better. If you go to any Sheets or any Pilot or any Loves, which is the places that I normally stop out on the road, they have machines that roast the, or they don't roast the beans, but they grind the beans and they make each cup fresh with an automated process.
They got a gimmick.
They've got
like
a gimmick.
My mom's got. You ever use a little thing where it's like the little gimmick you put in the coffee?
The Keurig.
Thing? Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah. This is one step above the Keurig because it grinds the beans.
Fancy.
And so, gas station coffee, not that bad. I will say though that I do have a limit. Like, we stopped by this one place when we were coming back from Illinois, and it was this little mom and pop shop. Listen, I'm all about shopping small and stuff in locally owned. There are some things you don't want to go locally owned.
You order off Amazon all the time.
Okay, well,
you're not all about that.
Well, I mean, I really,
when it comes to coffee, you're down.
In theory, I'm all about that, but in practice, I'm never about that because you never know what you're going to get. If you stop by some locally owned restaurant, it's probably going to suck. Let's be honest. Okay, so
please ignore that local merchant.
So. We went to this in the coffee. Oh my gosh, it was so bad. It was like Ford dealership waiting room coffee. It was just the dirt worst. And it had been so long since I'd had bad coffee that I'd forgotten how bad coffee could be.
Like, was it burnt? That sort of thing.
It was burnt, and it was old. Like, it had been sitting there forever, and it was also not hot. It was just lukewarm.
Yeah.
So it's the worst of all worlds.
You know, the Chud used to work at a convenience store, and I'd go visit them occasionally. And they had the two coffee pots. You got your regular and your decaf. And that was it. They didn't rinse those suckers out.
Yeah.
There were no beans involved in any of this stuff. You know? So
that's bad coffee.
Even as someone who doesn't drink coffee, I've noticed the uptick. I think they were like, look at this. These guys over at Starbucks are just killing it. They're making a fortune.
That's it.
And if we charge, say, half that, we'll be making way more and for just a smidge of work.
Right.
That's what they did.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so,
I wish food was like that.
Yeah, that would be great. But I will say that I am not a coffee connoisseur or nerd. Every morning I drink Folgers. So you go.
Now that sounds like nerd.
No, Folgers is like your typical.
Yeah, but isn't
like
that nerdy?
No.
What's the low rung of those three?
So, like, coffee connoisseurs will not drink any coffee that they haven't roasted the beans themselves.
Oh, you're saying you're all over the map.
Themselves. Yeah.
You're not too good for it.
I'm not too good for Folgers.
Why don't you guys just get good coffee?
Because it's expensive.
What about those little gimmicks you talked about? Are those no good?
Well, it's expensive. Compared to
my mom's got a million of those things.
Compared to getting a big big coffee can.
Do those little things go bad or are they just good forever?
No, they're good forever.
Oh, beautiful.
They have expiration dates on them, but I've drank expired ones. They're fine.
I mean, you drink gas station coffee, then what do you
that's
know?
That's true. We have an espresso machine that has those little things.
Yeah, why are they like that?
Well, they're metal, and the reason why they're metal is because when you make espresso, you have very high pressure that shoots the liquid through the grinds.
Yeah.
And so if you make it out of plastic, it would just explode.
No, but I mean, why are they so tiny? Why are
espresso because espresso is just served, and like the biggest espresso you can get is like a 6-ounce espresso.
See, that's no good for me. I like a mug of stuff.
Well, it's like a shot. Would you want a big mug of bourbon?
Absolutely.
I knew you were going to say
what
that.
What a stupid question. Next.
Ravi asks, if you could build your ultimate hi-fi stack system, what would you have in it? Are you a big hi-fi guy, Aaron?
It's funny, because here's the thing about hi-fi stereos, right? When I was a kid, my buddy went to Mac and Dave's, and he bought
Mac and Dave's. Explain what Mac and Dave's is.
It's just like old school, like electronics
pawn shop.
Place. No, it's not.
It's a pawn shop.
No, it's not.
Yes,
Mac
it
and
is.
Dave's was a department store when I was a kid. It wasn't a pawn store.
Anytime I've been around, you go in and you hawk your old stuff and you get other stuff.
Not this. This is brand new. Okay. And he got this stereo, and it was one of the classic, like, 80s ones with speakers as big as that fridge.
Right.
Two of those big boys. And then a big stack with, like, a record player, tape deck.
You know what
CD
Lord Sugar
player.
Calls that?
What's it called?
The Mug's Eyeful.
I don't know what that is. But who says that?
Lord Sugar.
I don't know who that is
Alan
either.
Sugar.
Oh, really? You would know, right? So, but I was like, man, look at this thing. And then when he got sick of it, I sold it to him. He didn't give it to me. I bought it. And I was like, now I'm King Dong. And I had the two huge speakers that could, like, shake the world, and you'd wire them up.
Yeah.
But this thing was old, and also it took up a ton of space, and I found out, that, like, hey, you can get tiny speakers that are loud, and they don't take up a huge ton of space. So I got rid of all of it, right? Well, then you realize, wait a minute, is this the rich Corinthian sound that I wanted from back in the day, or is this something that's sort of good but not as good? Well, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. So now I don't really have anything. I've got a sound bar or whatever, but that's not really the same, is it? I got one of those deals that has a sound bar and more a wireless bass. Mm-hmm. That's no good. Wireless, no good. So I'm too stupid to know what a good stack looks like. I know what one looks like because it's got crap going like this and all kinds of leverage you never touch. That's what I want.
Well, that's why I was saying I watched a Tech Moon video about what Sugar did.
Yeah.
Is he knew there were tons of people just like you.
Yeah.
And he said, if we make a stack that's got lots of fancy flashing lights and things like that on the inside of it, it could be the cheapest crap you've ever seen in your life, but as long as it looks the part, and they sold a million billion.
That was correct. Because I remember being at his house, and he put in like a CD, mm-hmm. and the CD player just was garbage. Mm-hmm. But at the time, no one had one, right? And all of a sudden, the things would pop up, and they'd be doing something, and be like, ooh. Oh, hypnotic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and still to this day, that's never changed.
Right.
Remember when Winamp came out? Mm-hmm. It was like, you're like, oh, look at that. It does the thing.
Yeah.
It's got the thing. Then it had the visualization. Just like, oh, my God. It's, the demo thing's built on this technology.
Right.
So I would love to have the thing is, those things are super expensive. You know that. You're an audiophile. Mm-hmm. I bet you pay top dollar for those.
Well, here's the thing. Audiophiles are they're brackets.
Yeah.
Okay. My ultimate hi-fi setup would be a bunch of Macintosh equipment. Not Macintosh like the computer. Macintosh the audio.
I didn't know there was a brand.
It's spelled different. It's without the A. Okay. They're out of New York.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing though. I really like them because they look awesome. Yeah. I'm the guy that Lord Sugar was marketing to. They've got blue, cool blue lights. They're bluish green.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's the fronts on everything are glass. And so you've got, and so the light glows through them.
Mine was like that in glass.
Yeah.
And
this stuff is so expensive. We're talking about $7,000 just for the CD player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good God.
Yeah, just for the
Why?
CD player.
Is it just because it looks cool? Does it sound like it's the best sound?
The thing about audiophiles is that they're terrified of A/B testing.
Yeah.
So nobody will ever do like a test where it's like, I'm going to listen to two things blind and pick one. They're like, it needs to be a full body experience
so
where
like
I can look at the
emulation versus Mr. Crowd.
It's exactly the same crowd. That they're just a lot more well-heeled.
So I guess our answer to that question is, I don't know enough to, but I know what I like, and you know what you like, but can't afford it.
That's exactly right.
By the way, just a quick side note, you know the big glass door on those stereos? You always get I saw a dude get his head ran through one of those.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it rich?
Not easy either. No, it was my buddy Gerlach. No, it was a guy named, no, it was Gerlach. He got smashed into one of those things. And it shattered. I'm like, yeah, and I didn't think they would shatter.
Yeah.
So it was a chick that just gave him the business.
Really?
Yeah, quite remarkable. I never forget that. Yeah.
That chick, she must have had some power.
She was real mad.
Yeah.
Was real mad.
Robbie, second question is, if you had the chance to invent a country, what would you name it?
Oh, boy, now that's a real think piece right there. It's a real thinker. Invent you get to name the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, how arrogant are you, Boat? I mean, it's the... Because you could name it like Botopia, but that's not
pretty
bad.
It's pretty good.
That's not bad. You know, I assume you'd have a coast in Botopia. That would be the ultimate hilarity. There's no coast. It's a landlocked country.
That's right.
The landlocked country of Botopia. I'm thinking of all the fictional countries I've ever heard of, trying to come up with something, but... You know, I can't think of anything aside from Botopia now off the top of my head. So I'm going to go with Botopia.
Well,
why am I giving you the country?
Here's the thing. I'd want people to come to my country. I'd want to advertise my country to the rest of the world.
So how's that going
to
work?
Okay, well, I'm going to name it something that people want. People want money.
Oh,
people
I see you're
money.
Going to angle. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't want just any people. I want sort of the erudite, sophisticated people. So we got to go. I'm shooting for the British, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is that the top of the heap?
That's
in your
right.
Mind?
That's okay. Right. So I'm going to call it a place that all the well-heeled British, they want to get rich or they want to get richer. I'm going to call it Poundland.
See, I see a problem with that name.
What's that?
Because the pound has several meanings. Like, for example, if you take someone to Pound Town, it's not a town, but it's got lots of money.
It sounds dirty.
That's exactly what it is. That's my point. So you might want to rethink Poundland. But I think you got a good idea. So, like, what's hot right now? Like, let's see, J-pop. Retro's real hot. So, so I've got a country that has all the modern conveniences but acts like it's 1978. What do you call that? Rotopia.
Rotopia.
That's not bad. We're really killing the Topia thing.
Yeah. Well.
But that's not bad. But I mean, I don't know how you work J-pop into that.
I don't know. Maybe you just leave that be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a separate country. How about that? That would you live in a country that had all the modern conveniences, but like everything looked like it was like the 70s or the 90s or the 80s? Which decade do you think would be the most appealing? Probably the 80s, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because you've got all the retro futuristic. Plus, they were like a lot of the Art Deco stuff came back in the 80s.
See, the problem is I wasn't a big. I like the 70s more than the 80s. Not just because my parents are like, oh, that's how old you are. No, it's not. It's, the 70s had more of a, to me, it had more of a vibe
in
the 80s.
Sure, I can understand.
And at the end of the 80s, it just tipped right over.
Yeah.
And that part of the country, that's where your slums and stuff right. are at, you know. That's a good question.
All right, next up.
We'll be here all night.
If Commodore had survived the XOR lawsuit and been allowed to sell the CD32 in the USA in September of 1993.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd have lasted much longer? How would they have fared against the Atari Jaguar 2 months later, or the Sega Saturn or Sony PlayStation just over a year later?
Who's this one from?
This is from Andy Craig. Sorry, Andy Craig. I forgot to mention your name.
Okay, so we know from talking to Mr. Pleasance that they had stockpiles of CD30s ready to go, as you'll recall. So would this have made any difference if they got the sales in the States? Yes, it had to make a difference because they had tons of these things. So here's the number one question is, let's say the line is clear. You can sell these in the U.S. Is anybody buying a CD32? You know, what do you think? Are people going to buy those? I mean, because let's pretend you don't know what it's going to become.
Right.
You see a CD system that comes out that can play movies and music. Is that something that's going to sell?
I really feel like you've got to look at the landscape, okay? So the initial wave of CD-based machines has come and gone.
The CDI.
Yeah. Okay?
And it was a dud.
Yeah. So people have already been burned by this. Some people have already been burned by, here's a relatively no-name brand coming out with this new thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So here comes the CD32. Let's be honest. By the time the CD32 makes its arrival in 1993, most people are no longer using Amigas. It's not like there was this...
Oh, in the States, yeah. They're
yeah, it's not like there's this huge crowd of people that were using A500s that were just chomping at the bit for the next generation with a CD.
Yeah, you wouldn't... There's no way you ride away from the Amiga computers to get this. That's not even part of it.
Right.
You don't even mention the Amiga in it.
The next question is the distribution channels. Where are you going to sell this thing? You know, you've got your computer stores. I'm sure Babbage's, Software, etc. Places like that would probably stock it. But I don't know that Kmart, if you went to Kmart at the time and said, hey, we've got this thing, I don't know that they would be sort of like, hey, we're gonna cut into our Genesis and our Super Nintendo zone to make room for this Amiga system.
I seem to recall Mr. Pleasant saying that he had some deals lined up for some retailers. I seem to recall that.
But he was only in charge of the UK side.
Right, but I mean, I remember him, because we asked him about this, and I vaguely recall him mentioning something about that. That much said, if you get these in the series, here's the problem with the CD32, ultimately. And you mentioned how would it sell against the Jaguar? It would not do well. And the Jaguar was a dud, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was mismanaged, right? The problem is, when people bought an NES, keep in mind, video games in this country were in the basement. Why did they buy it? It wasn't because they loved Japan or the name Nintendo. Why did they buy it? Because it came with an awesome game. An awesome game.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this game. I was like, holy smokes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What did the CDI ship with? I'll tell you what. Like an encyclopedia, some crap. No one bought it. They were selling this thing. I remember seeing it, TV ads for it. That with a half hour, you know, paid programming.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was dust. It was no good. And you're right. So just because it had a CD-ROM to it, it's not going to be good enough. Just because it's got the Amiga in the name, not going to be good enough. And the fact that there are other things creeping around, like on the horizon, stuff like your Jaguar and the other things that were coming down the pike, I just don't, even if it had mass distribution, remember they sold it in Canada. No one cared. How many Canadians you see holding this thing, the banner of the C32 up? Nobody, that's who. I don't think it would have mattered. I think it was doomed because it was poorly implemented. Having an Amiga strapped to a CD-ROM, good idea. But you got it. We've seen this now with stuff like the 3D goggles and stuff. If you don't have a killer app that's ready to go around the gate, pickup's going to be slow. And nothing tells me that this was going to be a big hit in America, simply on the basis that it's a computer with a CD-ROM hooked into it. This is when set-top box was getting a lot of voice and stuff. People are like, oh, Microsoft and Web TV and stuff. That was more, this has no connectivity to the internet, none of that stuff. Now, this is a little bit early for that, but I mean, the day is coming. But I don't see this having any impact, me personally. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like the people that wanted a CD system early, the early adopters, they'd already been burned by the CDI.
Yeah.
What's the other one that I can't think of? The 3DO.
3DO. Well, I mean, I can't. I'm trying to think what year the 3DO came out. It was after 93, wasn't it?
No, I don't think not? So. I think the CDI and the 3DO were both.
Those are
the same
both
time.
Perfect examples of machines that had a CD player on it and were either priced too high or didn't have the software people wanted. It was a hard sell.
Right. And so those people, your sort of curious early adopters were out, and the people that were hardcore gamers already had a CD system in the Sega CD that if they wanted to go that route, they could. Or the CD-ROM was a viable gaming platform or getting to be that
barely,
way.
Barely, but yeah.
But on the PC.
Yeah.
So you had lots of options.
Part of what hosed the Amiga CD32 was Amiga. I mean, really, having the name strapped to it in this country didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it may have made it worse. I wouldn't even call it that, because there wasn't enough mass acceptance of the Amiga computer to make that make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so when people saw that, they're like, oh, Amiga, those are sort of like no one had those.
Right.
Sorry, Doug. And so thusly, I don't think it would have mattered. There you go.
Pixels of Dawn asks, if you were to build your own wrestling promotion with Amiga mascots, what would it look like? Who would be the heroes and who would be the heels?
Well, the Teenage Caveman, that's one of your top heels right there. your face is, you've got the Ninja Ant. They get you a luchador to play him. Mm-hmm. You're good to go. He represents ants.
Has there ever been a wrestler with a cape like Super Frog?
All of them have had those. Yeah, tons of people.
I don't recall seeing a cape.
The Hurricane had one. Tons of luchadors have capes.
Okay.
Austin Aries had one. I've tried to get this for years, but you know the Boing Ball?
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking for a luchador mask that's just the Boing Ball design. I've came close, but I can't quite find one. I'm trying to get one cheap. I can have it made, but I don't want to pay that much.
Right.
But you just have an Amiga man.
Mm-hmm.
He's your mask. He's a masked good guy that comes around. You got to have a wicked valet to manage the Caveman. So who do you get?
Elvira?
No, much worse. Because he's your Amiga mascot. You get KT. Mm. That's going to be managing that guy. That's a killer team right there. And she's the one that works the stick. The Caveman's too dumb to talk. You put KT on the stick and she's like, makes that rawr, rawr noise on the stick.
But Yolanda
on
there too.
Heat.
Yeah.
Yolanda's another, because she's hot.
Right.
And you get her to manage a guy. Mm. So, but I mean, the thing is, we don't have any faces on this team.
No, well, it's that? Like the aside Amiga in the, general.
Aside from Zool and
Super
and his
Frog.
Chick.
You got Super Frog.
I don't know, Wrestling Frog. I mean, that even by my standards, you're really skirting the limits of my ability to spin this.
So you're saying they've got to be humanoid.
Who are the biggest faces on the
Jim
on the
Power?
Amiga? Oh, and his girlfriend.
He could be like,
say, the promos would be great. He'd be cutting one of those California guy promos, and she'd just be looking so bored.
Yep.
Oh, God, not this again.
Yep.
That'd be good.
Yeah. So there you go. That's it.
We should keep this going somewhere down the line. We'll bring that one back. That was fun.
RSN8887 asks, Boat, is your name really Boat? Like, as in your birth certificate?
Absolutely.
Also, my wife asked where you two are from that you have a name like Boat.
These are all valid questions, Boat.
My name is not really Boat. It is not on my birth certificate. That would be weird.
You can always change that.
I've thought about changing my middle name, seriously.
Does Zeep ever call you Boat?
No.
Aww.
The only people that ever call me Boat are people associated with this show.
Sorry.
And not even all those people. Like, Brent doesn't call me that.
You should have had a name I could have remembered better.
My name is John. John Boat of Carshaller.
What is your middle name?
Thomas.
What's wrong with that?
Well, John Thomas.
We can change it.
Much like.
Now I get it.
Much like everything in British slang, it means something
that's
dirty.
Exactly.
That's right.
No,
but I would love to change my middle name to Tiberius. I think that would be sweet.
Why don't you change it to Boat of Car? So when we say it's John Boat of Car Schaller, that would be that we wouldn't need the quotes.
That's true. We wouldn't need the quotes.
Think
we about
need
it. The quotes.
That'd be a fundraising event right there. Listen, give me $50 each. Change my name.
We should do that for you.
It's like what they call it, a Kickstarter. No, It's just a give me money starter. Listen, give you can me bribe money me to be dumb. That's what it is.
It's like all those tattoo challenges.
Oh, God, not those.
Graham W. Vebke asks, how do you feel about non-reversible hardware mods? For example, there are some mods that require you to snip case pieces to make mods fit or cut out a hole.
Yeah.
Aaron, you've got a little experience with this.
I'm all for them. Cut those cases. Cut them up, brother. Listen,
you know what I like to do? I like to cut the cases. Then I take a pair of snippers right to those capacitors and twist them right off.
Yeah, Huck style.
Yeah.
And you videotape it.
Yep.
Listen, here's the thing. I'm old school. Someone was talking about it, something with a case. I can't remember who it was. Like, in the old days, everyone was just like me. Don't let them tell you they weren't. We were just hacking, like, breaking stuff open, cutting stuff. Didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're covering that exit-y thing. Like, no sound. So what do? You hack together some kind of crap. You plug in the parallel port. That's how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't care. You know, you're just getting, you're taking some apart. My computers never had cases or sides on them. They would just be laying there, you know, because we were always tinkered with them and stuff. So I just moved forward. My ColecoVision that I put the RCA jack, just drilled them right in the case and think twice because no one, there was a point where no one cared. Then there was a neutral zone, and then everyone cared all the time.
Right, right.
And if you did anything horrible, you were the number one scumbag on the earth, even if it's yours. You're abusing history, you scumbag. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Because before that, no one cared what
now,
I did.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel differently about arcade machines than you do computers?
No. No, God, no. I feel...
So, for example, like somebody...
Because arcade
machines... So, like, that gauntlet changed into a wrestle
I knew you were going to bring that
up. Well,
I,
you know, the current events is what we're all
Adam
about.
Adam posted a picture of someone that had converted gauntlet to WrestleMania. Not the first time I've seen that done, okay? And I told him. He was like, this is a travesty. Well, no. I like WrestleMania way more than gauntlet, number one. I know it's heresy. But that's something... It wasn't a blasphemous act. I mean, I've seen some bad ones that made you cry, because they've done something like a Dragon's Lair, a Star Wars.
They so you do to, feel differently about arcade machines.
They were there to make money. You know, they were there to make money. And so when you see that, me and Brent have done it. In Brent's basement right now is a red tint Nintendo cabinet that you get at Pizza Hut. What were we going to do with it? We were going to make a double fighting machine out of it, where both screens showed fighting games, and you could get on there, and we were going to redo the control panel. We didn't think, no one cared. That's what the difference is. No one told us, my God, you're destroying a red tint cab. You're the worst. You're a monster. No one cared. No one cared what we did. No one cared that you did that. It was just a project. The Space Invaders I've got in my kid's room that he uses as a desk. I just took an old Space Invaders. It didn't work. Did some stuff to it. Put a MAME thing in it. Good to go. No one said, don't do that. You're screwed with history. Just no one cared. Now they care. That's the difference. What about you? What do you think?
With computers, I don't really care. You can do whatever you want. Like, I love people that color their cases, like, you know, paint their cases, weird colors and stuff like that.
What about cutting on them?
Cutting on them?
I mean, untalented cutting.
Yeah. And sometimes it does make me cringe a little bit. But the thing is, with most of the cutting that goes on, it's not visible from the front. You know, you're usually cutting up in the back and stuff, so that doesn't make me feel so bad. I do feel differently about arcade conversions, though. Like, it just makes me sad because I view arcade machines, like the whole machine as a unit, as a piece of art. I don't view this thing as a piece of art.
Something else you got to remember, a lot of people would sell, like, and I wouldn't be surprised at WrestleFest. I know WrestleFest had kits because I got one. Some people sold kits specifically designed to turn one thing to another thing.
Oh, absolutely. All
and
the time.
So that's how it was looked at. Now, I've seen some, like I said, I've seen some hack job conversions on some stuff you wouldn't want to. I've even seen, we were talking computer space on the last show. I've seen a computer space that would got a hack job done to make it something else.
Yeah.
Now it's an atrocity. At the time, they wanted money.
And that's the thing. Like, if you look at it from an operator's perspective, I get it. But, and it's really, and it's not most cabs, because most cabs are, they look like arcade cabinets, but something like a Burger Time where you've got that outline above it that's cut out and stuff like that.
That's another one. I've seen it. I've seen the color of that black.
Yeah.
And no one gives a crap what it was.
Yeah.
Now it's a Vanguard or whatever.
Right. Graham's second question is, What about mods that remove some original functionality? An example would be the GC loader on the GameCube removing the optical drive, or some SD reader in a computer that removes the floppy drive. Nope. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I've done that.
You're making it better.
I've taken the optical drive out of my Saturn and out of the Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. Exactly what Graham's talking about. I've still got them. I can put them back. But, I mean, the thing is, those things are plastic-geared, waiting to die things, mm-hmm. you know, and the function. So let's pretend emulation is 100% perfect, okay?
Okay. It's
perfect and cheap. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say you can get a Pi, something the size of a Pi, and it's perfect mm-hmm. and it's cheap and it will run all the games, mm-hmm. okay? Why are we even screwing with these old things? Like, I don't know. So there's a blurry line in between those two, because we're getting to the point where the cheap, little cheap thing is almost perfect. And having the original thing is actually sort of a detriment. You don't have as many outputs. You can't put mods on it, whatever. So, to me, and also I don't consider the Dreamcast that old, or the Saturn. Anything with a CD-ROM, I mean, doesn't seem that old. So it's not, that's something else that's not that big a deal. But yes, and the thing is, these things are out there. If you're a purist, just don't screw with them. I mean, but I don't have any problem with that at all.
Pajaco6502's first question is, what item or items have you been trying to get for many years and never managed to find? I don't know. I can find all about anything that I need.
There's no, like, holy grail items you want for your... Like, I know you're not really into retro collecting, computer collecting, per se. Well, you've got the 1,000.
Here's the thing. With the advent of the internet and eBay, yeah. I can technically have anything. It's just a question of, do I want to spend the money to get the thing?
Is there anything you can't find?
I don't think so.
Because there are things out there that I would like to have that you just can't
okay.
you don't see.
Explain.
Like, there are certain... I'm trying to think of a couple examples. I mean, or stuff that's financially... Like, something could be available, but you just can't afford it because it's gotten so ludicrous. Like, I would love to have, like, the Twilight Zone pinball machine, but I can't. I would love to have... Here's something I'd love to have that you can't get anymore. They used to sell these all the time on eBay. We're like TV show and movie props. Stuff from TV shows, signs, mm-hmm. Props that were used in show, wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to have some stuff from the Twilight Zone or from, like, Wild Wild West that you can't... That stuff, there's plenty of things I'd like to get. I'd like to have, like, a Rod Serling suit mm-hmm. that he wore on screen. I could hang up somewhere. That would be cool.
Yeah.
But you just can't... They're gone. That stuff's gone. Or Star Trek worn stuff. So that's something that comes to mind that would be something that I would like to have, but I can no longer get. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you're like, most stuff, if you really, really want it, you know, I saw the guys talk about the Zork book since Pajaco just put out his podcast. I had one of those Zork books. It's the one he read. And there's three other ones. And I thought to myself, man, I like that. Well, it'd be neat to have all those. Mm-hmm. Well, you can have them. You know, I like, there's a book out for some of the radio shows I listen to. Well, I like to have that. It's there. You mm-hmm. can find it if you want to pay a few bucks. And sometimes it's not even that expensive. So, normally, a lot of stuff, you just look for it, you can find it. It's just a matter of how much you want to pay.
Right. Pajaco's second question, or no, that was his whole question. I take it back. Do you enjoy, this is from Is2Scooby. Do you enjoy theme parks? If so, do you enjoy the rides? If yes, roller coasters or themed adventure rides? I'll take this one first. Do I like theme parks? Not really. Not really.
I knew you were gonna
Not really. They're crowded. They're expensive. Everything's a work. Everything's an angle. They're trying to get
you. Way to use the jargon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That said, do I like roller coasters? No. I hate roller coasters. They make me feel dizzy, and they make me feel sick.
Yeah. Too thrilling.
Now, however, I do like a good adventure ride. Like, remember at Kings Island, did you ever go there where you went through the Mayan temple? Or stuff like Pirates of the Caribbean. I like the where you sit in the boat and you're looking around and stuff's going on around you.
Right.
I like that.
So not something that's sort of like it's a small world sort of thing.
Yeah, except not lame.
Well, that place was air conditioned, so that's why I liked it mm-hmm. when I was there. I loved going to amusement parks. I worked at IBM. Every year we had our picnic at Kings Island and we would all go there and I wrote all the stuff out. There are some things I don't like. I don't like things that flip. I don't I'm not the biggest roller coaster fan. I'm sort of kind of cowardly, but I remember one year I went there with a chick, And so at that point, you're locked in.
Oh, yeah. And if you're there with a girl and you're young, it's a different thing.
Yeah, you're
not. Then you want to ride all the rides.
No, I didn't want to ride, but she did. And so I didn't have a choice.
See, let me tell you, when I was in eighth grade, we went to Kings Island.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out, and I was with this group of people. And these were kids that I thought were cool, and they were letting me hang out with them.
Yeah.
And we got on this roller coaster, and I was like, oh, man, I don't know what to do with my glasses. And she's like, give them to me. And she put them down her shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was pretty much the most erotic thing that ever happened to me.
It was almost like seeing down her shirt.
It was, and I was like, you know what? When I put on those glasses,
yeah, they've been in the promised land.
That's right.
See, I never thought about that because I was too busy being fearful. Like, just in one visit that I went with the chick, I went with the chick one time. I rode The Beast, which I'd never ridden. It'd been there forever. I rode The Vortex. Mm-hmm. I rode the stand-up roller coaster, which, are you kidding me? I rode the other, like the thing that just goes over the falls. Boom, like
the,
that.
The log flume.
Like, no, not the log flume. It's just riding. Just like, just goes, just fall to your death. You know, like, like a cartoon. And I rode all that stuff multiple times because the chick wanted to ride it. You know, and what am I going to look like, Big Dork McGee? I don't think I could do it. You just do it. And so I wrote a ton of stuff that time. But I don't mind going to an amusement park just to walk around. Mm-hmm. But my riding days are long gone.
When I was younger, it's just these days, I'm much more susceptible to being dizzy and feeling sick and stuff like that. And so that's...
You know what? Me and you would... This is our bag. The old train adventure.
Yeah, yeah. See, I love the train.
We'd be kicking back on that train, and there'd be the cowboys or whatever crap. Yeah. Like animals.
Yep.
Safari.
The jungle cruise, stuff like that.
Bam. Yep. See, we should go on a cruise.
We should. Next up, we've got Andy Craig. He says, if you were born in 1975 England, which 8 and 16-bit CPU home computer do you think you would have grown up on?
Let's see. What year? 75.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to choose from in 75. I assume as I got older.
Yeah, as you got older.
Because I was curious, so he's trying to get one of those.
He's basically saying, if you were my age and you were in England, what would you...
Oh, boy. Well, I'm thinking about what I had here versus what I would almost certainly, knowing my dad, he would have gotten me a BBC Micro because they've got them in school.
Right.
And that's the reason he got me that Odyssey, is because I had a keyboard, and no one had anything in school when we bought that. So for a computer, it almost certainly have been some sort of BBC. And I would have said ZX, because it's so cheap, but Dad sprung for the Coco, and it wasn't the cheapest thing out there.
Right.
He could have gotten something cheaper,
right.
But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably say the BBC would be the 8-bit. The 16-bit, I mean... Probably, the thing is, the Amiga was super expensive, so it would have been the ST, unless it was well in. Because we had a tendency that the Dowdy family holds on to stuff like Grim Death. So we may have held on to that BBC Micro well past its expiration date, and then sort of eased into the Amiga when the prices dropped. But if the prices hadn't dropped, it'd be Atari ST. What about you?
Well, very, very similar. Very similar. Well, what it would have been... Because it happened in my life, was my dad would have known somebody from work that was looking to shift something.
That's how we got into Coco.
And I maybe would have been a BBC, maybe would have been a Spectrum.
Yeah.
Probably, just like your dad, he probably would have wanted something with a real keyboard because he was thinking this is going to be something that he can use to become a computer man.
Because when you look at that, although admittedly I did have an Odyssey too, so maybe dad would have been like, the Spectrum's looking pretty good. But I mean, when I went to school, there was no computers in the school. Zero computers. So he had no basis. I think if someone had said, this is the official computer for our schools.
Right.
How many computers did that sell?
Right.
Now, I know the BBC was more expensive. Maybe I'd have had like an Atom or something, like a cheaper version. But it would have been something in the BBC line.
But what would have happened is that I probably would have used that computer wealth all the way through the 16-bit era. And then gotten a PC after that.
I don't know. That's the one
like
part.
A 286
that's the hazy part for me.
Yeah.
How long would I have held on to that thing? If it was a regular BBC Micro, God forbid, like a Master, probably a good while.
Right.
But if it was just like an ad or something, maybe I would have switched over earlier.
Benz asks, I first heard the joke, I've got a steering wheel in my pants. It's driving me nuts. Many moons ago.
It never gets old.
And I still laugh every time I think about it.
Right.
What joke still raises a smile when you hear it years after the fact?
Oh, God. Well, it's probably something from Airplane. Like there's so many good lines in that. There's a bit in it where Ted Strike is in this disco, and he goes, he sees this chick come out on stage, or out on the floor, and she's dancing. I couldn't believe it. It was like a dream. I asked the guy next to me to pinch me, and the guy looks at him and goes, and just walks off. I was like, something like that. Mm. Or that, you know, anything Leslie Nielsen said, some one of those lines like that. That, no matter, if I'm in the worst mood, I could throw a clip of that movie on, and it always makes me happy.
Yeah. There's some things that I wish I would have read these ahead of time. I could have thought of some. But any Uranus jokes, they still make me laugh. It never gets old.
Yeah. Or, you know, some stuff, just like the physical act of seeing, like, Vivian, like, hit Rick in the groin with a cricket bat. Mm-hmm. Like, if you watch the show, you know what I'm talking about. You know, of course, it happens a lot. But that some of that stuff, just the physical act that was good. No, like them here, Joe.
Or like Eddie falling down the stairs in Ab Fab. Yeah. You know, like.
Or falling out of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to go back and watch some of those. That was a great show.
It's so good. Pajaco asks, what is the most gadgety gadget you own, and do you use it much?
We both own a lot of gadgety gadgets. Mm. What do you think on that one?
I own a plant moisturizer checker.
Okay.
It's a device that you stick. It uses no electronics. As far as I know, it works on wizardry.
Yeah.
You stick it into the plant, and there's a gauge that tells you how dry or moist the soil is.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like, I got nothing to compete with that. I mean, we've got this, we got one of these, you know, these radon detectors you stick in your house.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? It'll detect carbon dioxide.
Carbon monoxide, okay.
And it's got buttons and dials and stuff on it. And I just plug it in. I'll look at it sometimes. I'm like, I wonder what this
other thing does. Is it like the stereo system? Does it have a little light show or anything?
It does. Well, no, nothing that impressive. But I always think to myself, I wonder what all that stuff is for. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, I'll die. That's basically so. That's when it comes to mind.
What about the swamp cooler thing? You ever fire those up?
My mom and dad are the ones that bought those. My dad assures me mom bought that after he went to bed, but I'm not necessarily buying it.
Is2Scooby says, what sound instantly stresses you out?
Oh, God. My phone ringing right now. If it rings, I'm like, ooh! It wasn't always that way, but that's here recently.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I hear the phone ring, it's never like, you won the lottery. It's right. Like, you lost the lottery. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to remind you.
Whenever I'm teaching in the band room, most of the time the announcements come on. It goes, boop, boop, boop. And it says, Mr. Schaller. And I say, yes. And can you send blah, blah, blah down to the office? But every once in a while, I'll hear, boop, boop, boop. And I'll hear the principal say, Mr. Schaller, can you pick up, please?
And that's when
it's never bad. But that does stress me out because I'm like, oh, man, what if this is the time?
The one thing that's a miracle is the fact that you could talk into those things. When I was a kid, and I heard, you know, we used to get principal announcements mm-hmm. all the time, but when the day I saw someone speak and the thing knew...
It was like Trek. I thought,
no, it's like Big Brother. It's mm-hmm. like, my God, I've been saying coming to my breath. Do they know what's going on? Is it being broadcast? What's happening?
And finally, is to Scooby's next question is, it's not finally at all, what seemed harmless to you as a kid, but now you look back on in horror?
Climbing stuff seemed harmless,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. You could fall to your death quite mm-hmm. easily. But, like, going out and just hitting each other with stuff, throwing stuff at each other, maybe occasionally throwing stuff at a car. You could just, like, that stuff seemed like no one thought twice about doing that back in the day. Oh, stuff on bikes. Like, just, like, I'm going to drive my bike and see if I can jump the creek. Well, mm-hmm. you can't. You die. Evil can do it, maybe. But, like, so I liked him. So mm-hmm. anything with bikes was another thing that was a big mistake, you know.
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff, actually. I'm surprised any of us survived.
We used to do jarts over the house.
You're worried about the jarts?
So, you know, like, my best friend, Amber, she lived two houses down. This is like a single story, double wide.
Yeah.
And so we'd be on one side and on the other side and just fling the jarts up over the house.
Oh, you weren't playing regulation.
No, no. This was more like battleship jarts where you're trying to hit the other person.
Yeah.
And so.
You remember when they, lawn darts, they got that rep for skewering people.
Yeah, probably for stuff like that.
Because they did skewer people. You know, if you don't know what these are, they're just basically like things you held with a handle and like little like an arrow wings, mm-hmm. and the front was like a metal tip
yeah.
that was weighted so it would go down in the dirt, mm-hmm. but it would also go down to your foot, your back, your head. So they came out with replacements for these, and I had a pair of them. So what do you replace the point of a, I mean, the thing wasn't even sharp, it was just a point. So they came up with a cutting plan. They had these, picture like a stick, and then a metal ball, and then they put a jaunty colored skirt over the ball. And these are like lawn, they were lawn, I don't know, balls.
Yeah.
But what you're actually doing is winging a metal ball with a handle.
Right. Also dangerous.
Also bigger, bigger surface area than a lawn dart. And I did get hit with one of these things, and almost killed me.
You don't see lawn darts around anymore of any size, of any kind.
No, that sport went away.
Let's see. David Cavalieri asks, it's 1989 and it's a Sunday afternoon. You're about to put on USA Network with your favorite ice cream or Hostess fruit pie.
All right.
Are you hoping it's a kung fu movie or Godzilla?
Oh, kung fu. It's funny. I just took my kid to see Godzilla X Kong this week. We both enjoyed it. It's the first time I ever seen Godzilla on the big screen. You know, and there's a bit where Godzilla and Kong go embrace. Up and pummel these guys and these other bad guy monsters. It's so refreshing. And there's a great bit where this, you know, I love Kong. I like it both, but Kong's my guy. Mm-hmm. There's a great bit where this monkey's giving Kong some troubles on the giant monkey, and he's being a real smart man. And all of a sudden, he sees this giant monkey fist go, bang!
No.
And Kong just cold cocks with the one shot. I was just like, yeah! So I would, but with all that said, I would root for a kung fu movie because I like those more. And on, but the thing is, if you're watching USA in 89, like, what were you watching on there? Were you watching WWF wrestling show when they came on Sundays around mm-hmm. noon? Or you'd watch Captain or Commander USA's Groovy Movie. Those are always cool. Those came on during the day. I like that guy. The guy that, he looked sort of like Dabney Coleman, the guy that played Commander USA. I think it was his name, Commander. I think I got his rank right. Most of the Kung Fu movies I watched came on local TV. I didn't see so many on USA. But I would probably root for that. But I like my giant monster movies with the Miss T crowd. It makes it more fun. Mm-hmm. But I would kung fu. I don't want any distractions on the kung fu. What about you?
Boy, they're both good.
Yeah,
they're both good. I've seen a lot of kung fu movies recently, and not as many monster movies. So I'm going to go with Godzilla. I should go and watch that. The Godzilla X Kong.
You doesn't require any previous viewing. All you have to know is Godzilla.
You don't have to know the lore.
The funny thing in this movie that I can't get over is, and this is there's two different universes for the Godzilla universe, right?
Okay.
But in this universe, Godzilla only comes around when crap's getting to be bad. Mm-hmm. He's got to go defeat
he's
the
like
bad
Mothman.
Guy. Because Mothman would actually physically fight the bad stuff. Godzilla, like, he only wakes up when he's got to go crush a bad monster, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great, right? The problem is, when he fights these monsters, even on the way to the monsters, he's got no problem stomping through your town. I mean, there's scenes where he's like in the water and he's walking through this town and just every bridge, he just crushes them. And the waves are crushed on the sides and all these people, I mean, millions of people are dying like mm-hmm. no one cares. And the thing is, they love Godzilla. They treat him like a hero. And he killed like 100,000 people.
Who's the turtle?
Gamera. He's the protector of the children.
Yeah, bro. Now does Gamera and Godzilla ever team up?
They have. They've teamed up and they have fought. Now, in the movie, Mothra comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And Mothra's sort of like the peace bringer between Godzilla and King Kong. Because they had a big throwdown in the last movie. But they team up in this one.
This is the second one.
Oh, yeah, they've had several in this universe.
Interesting.
Yeah. But this is good stuff. It's garbage, but it's good garbage.
Well, yeah. David Hearn Ryder asks, can you recall a concert that exceeded your expectations?
Oh, yeah.
I can recall one right off the bat, when we attended to get together last year.
Well, yeah, that one did. But the one, I'm sure I've mentioned this, but the one that exceeded my expectations by far the most. I mean, if I put them in, the thing is, the guys we saw exceeded my expectations, but they were all great. So mm-hmm. they should have. But when I saw Meatloaf, I didn't know what he was going to be like because I hadn't seen him for so many years. But the number one, without a doubt, is when I saw Blue Oyster Cult at the bar in Lexington, because it was a bar in Lexington. It was Blue Oyster Cult.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like in, I don't know, 97, 98. So Blue Oyster Cult hadn't been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening act was this local band that was awesome. And they tore it up. Mm. And I thought, man, this could be tough for Blue Oyster Cult. And these guys came on stage, and they looked like they were like had been around for 1,000 years. The only one of them that looked like remotely capable was the guitarist, because he wore sort of a suit jacket. That's all it took. These other guys, I mean, they looked decrepit. And I thought to myself, man, this is going to be embarrassing. And the second that guy hit the thing, blah, I was like, oh, no, they're going to be fine. And they murdered that concert, murdered. But they looked like doom on the stage. What about you?
It was the Ringo concert.
Why did you have low expectations for that?
Well, I didn't have low expectations.
You had no show expectations.
I knew, I was like, Ringo's going to come out. He's going to sing some of his hits. Yeah. I didn't really look to see who the all-star band was going to be. I was just like, it's probably just going to be some guys that can play really well.
I knew Edgar Winter was in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew Edgar Winter. But I was not expecting to get basically like 8 concerts in one. Hearing each one of those guys do their signature song, that was fantastic.
A couple of the, they did at least 2 of their signature songs.
Right.
And they were all great. I looked at the lineup beforehand, but I didn't understand what I was going to be seeing. Mm-hmm. I'm like you, and I was like, and there's a reason why Ringo brings the All-Stars.
Right.
Because Ringo's got a lot of hits, but he doesn't have enough, and he doesn't do any Beatles stuff at all.
Right.
Which is, and he should. He should do at least a couple that he was involved in singing, but he doesn't.
He did all of his Beatles stuff.
Did he?
Yeah. He did Yellow Submarine.
He did
With a Little Help from My Friends.
You're right.
He did every single Beatles song he sang, except for Don't Pass Me By.
You're right. I forgot. But anyway, I did not expect the rest of it. It was great. And the guys could still go. I thought they could.
On the other hand, what was a concert that left you disappointed?
That's an easy one for me, too. I went and saw a double bill, double headliner, they call it. Of course, someone's got to lead the act. It was Damn Yankees, which was a super group comprised of Ted Nugent, the lead singer from Night Ranger, the lead singer from Styx, not the insane one, but the other, Tommy Shaw, and then some drummer. And then they were leading the act, and the main act was Bad Company. But I didn't know it, but Paul Rodgers was got out the door. So this was Bad Company in the middle 80s, where they had like the hits that were like Holy Water and a couple other ones. And man, Damn Yankees like smoked them off the stage. And so when Bad Company came up, not so good. They were not that good. And they didn't play, for one thing, they didn't play the song Bad Company.
What are you doing? It's like Big Country, not playing Big Country.
They didn't play Shooting Star. Like, they didn't play any of the stuff that the old guy sang. Like, they didn't play any of that. And that's not good for Bad Company, because their new stuff was not strong.
Yeah. I've got to say, I've never been disappointed with a live concert, and I think it's because I have not seen that many concerts. You know, I only go see groups that I really love.
Yeah.
And I tend not to go to, like, big stadium shows, with the exception of Ringo.
Yeah.
And so
I can tell you weren't too keen on that.
No.
You know, there are 2 big shows coming up that I'm tempted to go see. I may have mentioned one of them, ELO's touring for the last time. And that's basically... You know, Jeff Lynne. Basically, he's touring for the last time. And they're going to hit Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. They're not coming anywhere near here, as it's close. So I can go see them. And Oliver Anthony's playing in Huntington, which Mitsuyama, of all people, in London, told me. He's like, hey,
Manchester.
Manchester. Excuse me. He's like, yeah, do you know this guy's playing like right down the street? I had no idea. And so both those I'm tempted to go see. I mean, I'd hate to not ever see ELO, but you know how to hassle it is to drive to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, respectively, plus the, and then you're going to pay the cost of a ticket, a hotel room, the gas.
Well, whenever I've driven, like, I drove to Cincinnati to see Jens Lehmann in concert, and we drove back the same night.
Who was it you saw?
Jens Lehmann. He's a guy, like, from Sweden. All right. But, yeah, I think, listen, you're the number one ELO fan of all ages.
I do love ELO. So, I do. More people should love them. My God.
I think they're fine. I always said the 2 artists that I would love to see that I would pay significant amounts for were Prince and David Bowie, and they're both gone.
Well,
so
my buddy had me tickets to David Bowie on his Signs tour. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is the last time I'm playing any of my classics. I remember that. And I was like, oh, my God. And he gave it to his dad. He gave my ticket to his, like, or his, I think it was his dad, so I didn't get to go. I got shut out. I was not happy. But I understand why he did it. And then Prince played in Lexington. But this was the rapping Prince, and I didn't want to see that.
You never know what you're going to get with Prince. One of my favorite concerts, if not my favorite, was this David Bowie tribute band I saw in Sheffield.
Yeah.
They were freaking tribute bands are oftentimes the way to go. Because
yeah.
you know you're going to get to see the hits.
Yeah.
Those guys are all good players.
I'd like to see, if I could pick a band that I never saw that I'd like to, and I'm not going to see probably one of these bands anymore, would be Jethro Tull. I always like to see them live. And I'd always like to have seen Fleetwood Mac. And, you know, we're not going to see Fleetwood Mac anymore either. So yeah. that's kind of a bummer. Hey, it's the way it goes.
Pixels asks, now Aaron has shaved off, oh, no, I'm sorry, Is Too Scooby asks, what did you think was cool when you were a kid, but you cringe at now? You know my three.
Go ahead.
Kevin Smith movies, Nirvana, and Weird Al.
You cringe at Nirvana?
Yeah.
Nirvana's got a lot of good songs, though.
All that stuff. Like, I used to think Kurt Cobain was like the ultimate guitarist, and Nirvana was the ultimate voice of my generation.
The problem is they made you think that.
Yeah.
See, I'm lucky that I didn't get pigeonholed in, so I can look at Nirvana subjectively.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came around, they did do one great thing, which was get rid of that god-awful like metal slop that was out there, that pop metal garbage. And I liked a lot of Nirvana songs. I quite like Nirvana, a lot of Nirvana stuff. What was the other two things you said?
Kevin Smith movies.
Well, I love Clerks. That's a great movie. And I like Chasing Amy pretty good. I like Mallrats okay, but I haven't liked much of anything else he did. So Clerks is the only one I really, and the first Clerks. There are no others. things that make me cringe that I used to like. Buck Rogers, we talked about that earlier. That is so bad. And I used to never miss an episode of that when I was a kid. I used to watch a show called Space Giants. It was this Japanese show.
Sounds cool.
Man, it's I've watched episodes here recently.
Is it animated?
No, it's live action.
Oh man,
it's crazy because these robots turn into rocket ships.
Uh-huh.
But there's a boy that can also do it. He's amongst them. You know, I don't know how it works. It's been a long, but I mean, that's another one. I look back, I'm like, man, how did I sit through this crap? But I mean, it's for kids. That's the thing. I'm not a kid.
Well,
anymore.
A lot of the stuff that I liked when I was a kid doesn't make me cringe because it's for kids. This stuff is stuff that I liked in high school when I thought I was all grown up and cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a third thing that really makes, I mean, I really have kept my enjoyment of most of the stuff I like. There are stuff that I tolerated more as a kid that I don't tolerate now. Like, I can't sit through an episode of He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. It's so bad. Like, I used to love Wonder Woman. That's just so bad. I just can't. I mean, even for the hotness, I just can't pull it off.
Like live action Linda Carter Wonder Woman?
Yeah, Linda Carter Wonder Woman. I mean,
is that a rung below Xena in terms of the pacing and acting and everything?
It's ladders and ladders below. Xena was exponentially better.
Interesting.
Oh, God, yeah. Xena was way better. Better acted, better plots, better guest stars, better everything. Mm. They're not even in the same category.
Okay. I've never seen either one. So
the hotness category. That's the only place you can match. There's an equal matching.
Pixels at Dawn asks, now that Aaron has shaved off his beard, is Boat going to grow a beard to rebalance the Amigos facial hair equilibrium?
You did have a beard for a little while, and I can't remember.
In 2013, I grew a beard
for
a couple months.
You're usually clean shaven.
I like being clean shaven.
It must piss you off to have to shave that much, though.
I shave about every 3 days. I've got light hair. Yeah.
Don't worry. Don't panic. I'm regrowing
your
beard.
It looks good the way it is now. You can keep it just like
this
that.
I'm going through my George Michael phase here. You know,
listen, anything that makes you look more like George Michael,
if I could sing like him.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to grow a big, huge, ultra beard. That's what I'm going to grow now.
Okay.
But that's what I had a plan. It just sort of, I don't know why. Do you know me? I just spontaneously do dumb crap. Yeah. I apologize. Everyone that I offended visually over the years. But my God, how long have you been watching this show? Listen to the podcast if I'm that horrendous to you.
David Hearn Ryder asks, if you entered a wrestling federation as a tag team, what would your gimmick and signature move be if you and I were a tag team?
We'd have to use the podcast as a gimmick, right? Mm-hmm. We could hit guys with mics and choke them with cords. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, there's
get this, I even got a better one. So, like, we did commentary, right? We commentate our own match right there at ringside.
Why has that never been done before?
People have sort of done it, but we would do it better,
yeah.
You see? And we'd be jobbers. That's because we can't beat nobody.
Right. And so that would be easy for us to
beat. So, like, when you're in there getting murdered, I'm going to get bowed. He really said, he's a pathetic display right there. A pathetic display of manhood. And look at him trying to crawl over here. And I would just not make the tag.
But the jobbers always call the match, right?
No. What? No, they get murdered.
Oh.
Why would you let them call it?
I thought that was the rule because no, they
the
got murdered.
No, the bad guys call
it. Oh, the bad. That's what. Yeah. Okay, I got mixed up. You know, Lee's bringing it back. I tagged you.
I saw that. I don't know if we're going to be involved in this one.
No.
Considering it's at his studio.
Yeah.
Unless he wants us to call, I'd be more than happy just to come in and comment.
I may be out permanently on the wrestling.
Why? You've always had a good time doing that.
The last couple times, it hasn't been too much fun.
Because the show's been horrible?
Yes.
You haven't been there for the last couple of them, have you? I thought you missed a couple.
I think I missed one ever.
I may drop him a note and see if he wants us to do commentary over there.
Data Dog asks, I just watched an episode with QI with Stephen Fry. Is it really true Americans put a gherkin on their Christmas trees? And gherkin means pickle. Have you ever heard of this?
I have a pickle on our tree, but it's a plastic one.
Okay, well, so yes, now. So you do it.
I thought gherkin was something else. Okay.
I've never done that or heard of that, but it appears that...
like a real pickle?
No, just like a... I think yeah. It can be either.
We've got one. I don't know what... I guess, I don't know, it's amongst the stuff tree put in. I don't know where we got it, but yeah, we do have a pickle in there. So, absolutely, yeah.
Pajaco asks...
What's QI, by the way?
QI is a quiz show that when I was in England, I saw one of the former hosts of QI, which I believe was one of the hosts on Bake Off.
Oh,
or
yeah?
One, yeah, maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe this is a different person.
You were in person at this thing?
But no. But when we were walking around either Cambridge or Oxford, I can't remember which one, we saw somebody, Pajaka, if you're still here, you know what I'm talking about, maybe, unless it was the day that you weren't there, and then it was just me and Pix. Mm. But we saw, he's like, there she is! And it was, I think it was the former host of QI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there you go. By the way, I'm an American. You're an American.
Yep.
From America. I've never heard of a tradition about putting a pickle on a tree.
Yeah,
ever.
Me
have you?
Neither. No, so but you do it though.
Well, I mean, but I put a lot of weird. I've got a Gene Simmons I hang on the
well,
tree.
Well, maybe that's your thing.
All right, no, I'm just saying. So I have a feeling that is not as
that's
widespread
right.
a belief.
Sandy Toksvig, that's who it was. We saw her. It must have been in Oxford because Pajaco couldn't come.
I don't know who that is. So,
but, she was the former host of QI.
Well, I don't know what that is. So
it's
that makes
a quiz
sense
show.
Then, yeah.
And finally, our final question.
Finally, for real this time?
Sorry, no, there's still two more. Are there any traditions, this is from Pajaco, are there any traditions that only your family follows during any national holiday, and what is it? Only your family follows this tradition. You guys have got to have some traditions, you and Tree and Luke, Halloween, something.
I'll face it, the weird tradition, I mean, my immediate family, like me and Luke and Luke's ma, we have no traditions. I mean, we celebrate the traditions just like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
We have gifts on Christmas. I mean, we don't do anything special. There was a time where I did all kinds of stuff that I would have a party every Halloween. I have a party every New Year's for a while. I had a party every 4th of July. We would get to go to Brent's and Brent mm-hmm. would have a big 4th of July spectacular. Remember, mm-hmm. you've been to those,
yeah.
But we don't do any of that stuff anymore.
Right?
It's not because I don't even want to. But I mean, just. Circumstances. I mean, I'm gonna bring them back one of these days. But you know, what are you gonna do?
But there's nothing like on every midwinter's eve, you place a unicorn head on.
When we know it's, I'll tell you, we know it's Halloween time when we watch the Headless Horseman, Disney. When we break, that's the first time we always watch. Mm-hmm. When that gets broke out, that means the Halloween season's begun.
And when is the Halloween season?
No, it varies. It depends on when Tree's ready to go. And mm-hmm. she's usually ready to go early on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I had to curtail her earliness. I mean, she's cranking it up like September 8th. I'm like, mm-hmm. listen, no. Mm-hmm. Because by the time Halloween rolls around, you're sick of it.
Yeah, it's the Christmas
You've
thing
got
all over
to
again.
Limit
yeah.
it to the
right.
the month that the holiday's in.
Yeah.
You can't go beyond. What about you guys? Because the Eeps probably got all kinds of traditions and stuff.
Well, we don't. Like me and Eep again, sort of like you guys, we don't have any traditions that are just our own.
Yeah.
But I can tell you about like when we lived in Thailand, we did Loy Katong. Loy Katong is where you make a little float traditionally on a banana leaf, but most people just use like chunks of styrofoam now.
Yeah.
And you
good for the river.
That's right. That's right. And you put a candle on it, and you let it go down the river.
Yeah.
And that represents like all of the bad stuff in your life floating away.
Really?
So yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's a cool thing.
The problem is, if you did that around here, when that thing tipped over, it set the river on fire.
It's true.
You got to be careful.
That's true. There's also Songkran. Songkran is where you have a big, giant water fight, like the whole country takes part in, where everybody's got balloons and super soakers.
That
and all
is outstanding. The Thai, they know. Yeah. Wise bunch over there.
Yeah.
Did she have any, do you and her have any personal, like, only you guys traditions?
Boy, I wish we did. Wouldn't that be cool?
People on TV do that stuff, but, like, real people, like, I'm not a big Italian family. It's kind of like, oh, from the old country.
Right.
We used to, like, you know, we used to hit each other on potatoes.
That's the thing. Like, I'm too far removed from the old country.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not even sure which old country I came from. Now I'm old in this country.
Right.
My tradition, have a lot of knee pain, take some aspirin, go to bed early. That's a new tradition.
This is the final question.
You sure?
Is Two Scooby asks, if you had a theme song that played every time you walked into a room, what would it be?
Oh, my God. Every time you walked in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Because that's you probably got one right away.
Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
Flashlight, Parliament Funkadelic.
I mean, you could do worse. It's a Funkadelic coming in because you know it's going down.
Right.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I listen to this song every day since I found it. And I'm embarrassed. Somebody, and if you're in a chat, you can speak up. Someone posted a RIP to Steve Harley a month or so ago. He died. Steve Harley and Cockney Rebels, I think the name of the outfit. And he does this song. And the song, he sings it. Have you seen the video? You don't know what I'm talking about.
He's got a fur coat on.
He's got he's got a fur shoulder thing up, and he's no shirt.
Okay. But I know what you're talking about.
You know, and he sings this song in the most bizarre style. And it's been covered a million times because everyone sings it better, but no one sings it like him.
Right.
And you have to get this exact version. And then my favorite part of the song is when he says the word liar, and he goes, he rolls his eyes like this. And then my second favorite point is that this song is a guitar solo. And when the guitar solo comes up, Steve turns to the guitarist and goes, like he's irritated that the guitar solo is coming up. You know, and it's so, the look he has, I can't do it. He's just like, ugh. And I found that this is one of the all-time biggest, like, most popular songs in the UK. Well, I had heard it, like, maybe once. Mm-hmm. It charted over here, like, in 71 or something.
Yeah, I'd never heard it before somebody posted it.
And so, but this song, it echoes in my head. It's like if Bob Dylan wrote a pop song with a real cockney. I mean, it's the singing of it's so weird. So I would have that, but it's also catchy. You know, so I would have that guy's song. It's the only song that's like I ever had of the consequence. That would be the song. That would be the song that would come into every room. And I wouldn't want to come in until the guy started singing. Because you need to be announced.
So you just got to wait in your car when the song cranks up.
It's called Come Up and See Me, I think is the name of it. Make Me Smile. Come Up and See Me, Smile. That's the song. That's the one I would go with because it's the song of the jure right now for me. I've heard it about a million times.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for this month's Ask the Amigos. As always, if you're a member of our Patreon Discord community, you can write a question in the Ask the Amigos channel and we will answer it next month. We will see you next time. And until then, adios.